you go? Rebecca was asked, will you go with this man? Secondly, I do believe it has to be in sanctification. Will you go with the Lord being separated and sanctified from the rest of the world? Being different. Brother Eddie, I do believe in the days and times we're living in, the world wants to blur the lines. They want to blend in everything and think everything's fine. But we was warned in the Old Testament when they would call evil good and good evil, there is no evil that's good and there's no good that's evil. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Thank God there's no variable or shadow of turning in Him. He is the Father of light. But evil comes from within man. It comes from his flesh. It comes from the wicked one. And many examples given in the Old Testament of Lucifer and Satan, they liken him unto kings in the way men move and work. And can I say this? We have to make a conscious choice today to go with the Lord. I said going with God could be a salvation message. It could be a sanctification message. And it also could be a servitude message. That servant went as his Lord told him to go. Oftentimes, and we'll get to this, I don't know, I don't have an outline, Brother Eddie. I just got some things that's down. And at first I was puzzled and praying. Lord, I do believe we're smack dab in the middle of where God wants us to be, but I do believe in today's day and time, the question has to be asked within our own heart, are we willing to go? Are we willing to do? We've had a group of people, we had a family come visit us a couple months ago, the Johnson family, who's trying to gather up funds so they can go to Thailand to be missionaries to Thailand, and they've been sending us reports, even though we don't give to their cause, but they have been giving us two reports now of what the Lord's doing already in Thailand, preparing the way. They're trying to get things prepared here to get them over there. They are willing to go. Are we willing to go? So if you'd like to go to Genesis chapter number 24, you'll flip to Genesis chapter number 24, going in verse number 58, familiar scripture. We've already gave the last part of the scripture, or the second part of the scripture, I guess you could say. But we want to be mindful of the Lord. We want to read this, and if you're able, we ask you to stand with us to the reading of God's Word. Have a little word of prayer. I ask you to pray for me that I would be free and loose in the Spirit of the Lord to preach, not in the spirit of the flesh. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter number 24 and verse number 58. It says, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." Precious Lord, we come to you one more time today, Lord, to say thank you, Father, for reaching down your hand to us. Lost and lonely and in despair, Lord, Father, I'm glad. I was nearing it, Lord, when you come searching and rescue me. Lord, I believe every sinner that's been saved was at the nearing the end of despair. Lord, Father, I believe they was almost, Lord, Father, they was troubled so much inside. Lord, Father, I pray today, Lord, Father, for all those that's here. And pray, Lord, Father, that whether we're saved or we're lost, saint or the sinner, Lord, that we would seek you, Lord, Father, open up our heart and listen for what you have to say. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we'd be willing to answer this question in the affirmative that you're proposing and purposely giving out to this congregation. Some folks may think this is a good message for so-and-so, or this might be a good message for somebody if they was here. But Lord, you knew the congregation that would be here today, and you knew the hearts of everyone that's here. Lord, no doubt right now people's distracted by thoughts and things that's going on. Lord, I pray you arrest those thoughts. I pray you put those thoughts away. And Lord, Father, allow that heart to hear and their attention to be focused on you. Lord, give us ears to hear what you have to say in the Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, we do humbly pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. The question that was asked to Rebecca, will you go with this man? Just for a brief introduction, we know, most of us know, and maybe all of us should know, this is the depiction of Abram. Just losing his wife, Sarah, sending out the servant to go find a wife for his son, Isaac. There is a meeting between Abram and the servant, Abraham and the servant, talking about what is expected of the servant to do. There was an oath proclaimed between the two, between Abraham and the servant. The servant was scared because he did not want to fail in what he was supposed to do. The Bible says that the servant swore with the oath with Abraham to go do exactly what Abraham wanted him to do. And I love the part about the servant. He was a praying servant because he wanted to fulfill the Lord's request. And that'd be a good thing for the servant of the Lord today to have that prayer in their heart to always want to do what the request of the Lord is for our life. Can I say it's a hard thing to find some folks, and I do believe, Brother Eddie, it's hard to find some situations where even in myself, I do believe the Lord looks down sometimes as is disappointed because I will not seek His face in the request that He wants me to do. But I'm so glad that His disappointment does not mean that I'm thrown away in the trash. I'm glad He forgives the servant if we fail. He forgives me if I fail, and He'll forgive you if you fail. But friend, it does not change the fact there is a task that God wants to do. I think it was me and Sister Tina was talking about how we had ordered the new curriculum and it came in wrong and it went back, and I couldn't imagine, and I was talking about how many times I had done things wrong. I have failed the tests that the Lord has put in my life, but I'm glad He did not flunk me. He just keeps giving me the test, and I have to keep taking the test over and over and over again until I finally pass the test. Can I say the answer's in the Father, the answer's in prayer? And this servant was had an oath to go find a bride, and that for the master's son. The Bible says that he prayed, and he was praying about how things should go, about praying how he would come to a well and he would bring his camels to the well, and how that he was praying for the one to come from the land, the countrymen, the relatives that Abraham had sent them to. He wanted somebody not of the world. He wanted somebody of his own kin, of his own kind. Somebody say amen right there. I believe we should seek our own kind. I'm not talking about black and white and yellow and red. I'm not talking about Chinese or Mexican or English. I'm talking about them that want to serve the Lord. Can I say this? Oftentimes some folks get upset, Brother Byron, and they get upset and say, well, pray, you ought not to single yourself out. We're not singling ourselves out, but we are to be a separated and sanctified people from the rest of the world. Why? Not to say that we're better than them, but to say there's a God above in heaven who loves us so much, and He'll make a change in the life. He'll forgive us of our sins and our iniquities. He'll give us a brand new life by making us brand new. And Brother Eddie, He'll loose us from all the binds and all the chains that keep us tied down to this world and give us liberty. The Bible says that this servant prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. But as he was praying his prayer unto the Lord, the Bible says before he could even say, in Jesus' name, amen, guess who showed up on the scene? Rebecca showed up. Rebecca showed up and done exactly as his prayer was. Now, I don't want to get too caught up in this first part of the message, because I do believe there's a part of this message that God wants us to put out there. And can I say, as the servant was willing to go, as the Lord told him to go, I do believe, as Amos said in chapter 3 and verse number 3, that unless two agree, they cannot walk together. Can I say, we got to be willing to go as the Father says go. We got to be willing to move when the Lord says move. Can I say this? Many people say they will, but many people don't go. In Matthew chapter number 21, we find the story where Jesus is talking, and he says, I suppose there was a man who had two sons, and he asked them both to go into vineyard to work. And the one says, I will not go. But the second one says, I'll go. But the first one who said he would not go repented and began to work. But the other one who said he would go did not go. Can I say this? Many draw nigh with their lips, but their heart is far from them. And God's looking not for the best of the person to go work. He's not looking for the most talented person to go work, but He's looking for the one who's willing to go work. I remember it was preached here. I remember it was preached over at Enterprise. I remember it's been preached a lot here. It's not about your ability that God's looking for. He's looking for your availability and your accessibility. And oh, friend, can I say this? If you don't make yourself available for God to be used, and if you don't make yourself accessible to God to be used, friends, you'll never get used by the Lord. You may have a talent, you may have wisdom, you may have Bible knowledge, and you may be able to sing like a bird and pray down the fire. But friend, if you don't give yourself wholly to the Lord and do what the Lord have you to do, friends, you will always find yourself not being used. Can I say God's looking for somebody who's willing to go? And can I say this? Before Rebecca could go with the man had to go. He had to go to perform, to do the duty that God told him to perform to do. And can I say this? We'll get back to the salvation part of this message, but I got to get to where the Lord wants us to get to. I'm reminded in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. I'm reminded in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. I find in places where Jesus comes to one and he says to follow me. He says, I would, but I got me a new bride, Savior. I got me a new bride, and we got to to make ourselves a happy little home. One says, Lord, I'd follow you, but I just got me a brand new farm, and I got to prove that land. I got to till that land. I got to plant that garden. I got to plant those vegetables. Or I'd go with you, Lord. I'd go, but I got these things to do. And one says, Lord, I'd go with you, but my daddy died. I'm not going to say for any sympathy, and I'm not saying looking at me, but I remember I sat there last night and said, Lord, I ain't going to say nothing about it, and here he is pushing my button, and I'm not trying to say I'm something special, but friend, he told that man, let the dead bury the dead, and he said, follow me. That's a hard saying for some of us to swallow. That's a hard saying for some of us to get down the of our heart. But friend, can I say this? If someone that you love very so dearly much has passed on, can I say there's nothing you can do to bring them back? But as David said, he cleaned himself up, got him something to eat, and says, I can't bring them back, but I can go to them. And friend, it pays a lot more to go with God than to go with the things of the flesh. And friend, it's better to serve the Lord than to serve this world. 5 years ago this past Thursday, I lost my daddy. Miss him every single day. It always haunts me. It always creeps into my mind. And I remember I was told I was crazy. I was told I was stupid. I was told I was foolish to do it. But my dad died on Tuesday, Brother James. And the next night I stood in his pulpit and still preached. You said, preacher, why would you even do that, missing your dad? I said, because God told me there's nothing that I can do to bring him back. But I still got to stand and follow the Lord. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. But what I am saying, friends, God's looking for somebody who's accessible and available. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best pastor, and I know that, and it burdens me down. But Brother Eddie, I want to be an accessible and available one. I want to be used of God. I want to be effective, and I want to do what the Lord tells me to do. If it's just one task, we should have a desire in our hearts. Say, Lord, I want to get one thing done for you. I was reminded in my Bible reading, I was thinking about the man who had 5 talents and the man who had 2 talents, the man that had 1 talent. It wasn't that the man who had the 5 talents. Talents wasn't mean he knew how to do something more than the man who had 2. It just means there was much given to him, where much is given is much is required. And the man who had 5, he said, well, I tell you what, if he's given me 5, I better do something. And he increased double. And the man that was given 2, he didn't have as much to do, but he increased double. But there was one who was given 1, and he said, you know what, I don't want to mess this up, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit in the pew. I ain't going to praise. I ain't going to sing. I noticed there was only 6 people in the choir loft today. I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to sit in my pew because I'm not going to mess this up. I'm not going to screw this up. Y'all pray for me right now. I don't know why the message went this way, but God knows exactly why. And friend, the Bible says when the master who handed out the talents came back, he gave the one that had the 5, he gave him more blessing. The one who had the 2 and increased the 2, he gave him more blessing. But when he came to the one, he said, why didn't you increase? And you should have heard the excuses that come out. He said, I knew you was an ostrich man, reaping where you did not sow. Can I say right there, Jesus did reap where he didn't sow. He didn't sow my fornication, my adultery, my lies, and my drunkenness, and my hatefulness, and my sorriness. He didn't sow that, Brother James, but he reaped it. Can I say this? I sowed all those things, Brother Ben, and I don't have to reap it. He reaped it for me and saved my soul and died upon the cross and died for my sin. But can I say, it would behoove us, it would behoove me, that if I was saved and all I had to do was just to praise his name and walk in front of him in an upright way, it would be the most best thing that we should do. Don't hide it because you're afraid you're going to mess up. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I would do this, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. Can I say, God specializes in people who mess up. I might fail, preacher. God deals specially with failures. Preacher, I'll make a mess of a situation. God's good at cleaning up my messes. Sometimes he makes me clean up my own mess, and sometimes the mess is too big, and he cleans it up for me. I say, thank God for that. Thank God for that. The Lord's looking for somebody to go. The Lord's looking for somebody who said, I don't care, sink or swim, live or die. I'm going to go for the Lord. I'm going to go because God wants me to go. He come to me and he asked me. I've heard people say, well, preacher, and I want to say this, and y'all don't, I know you're going to have to get the phone calls. I won't get them. They won't call me. They're afraid to call me now. I'm just going to say this. You don't need to sign up on a piece of paper. You don't need a name tag across the back of your shirt. You don't need a door with a sign on the door that says that you're something. If you've been blood bought and born again, your name's recorded in heaven. Rejoice not that you got power over the spirits. Rejoice not that you're a preacher. Rejoice not that you're a singer. But rejoice you've been saved and you're going to heaven. Is anybody hearing this preacher today? Too many people's looking for something big and something special. When friend, there's nothing that can top being a child of the King. Bless his holy and righteous name. Can I say this? Do you know why Paul went with God and kept going because he forgot the past and kept on pressing. Philippians chapter number 3, Paul went because he forgot the past and kept on pressing. Do you know why Daniel kept going? It's because he purposed it in Daniel chapter number 1, and he kept praying all the way to Daniel number 6, so when he got put in the den of lions, they couldn't hit him, they couldn't bite him. And can I say the reason why Moses kept going? Because he found himself in a place, and he said, I'm not going to take that place which was beside Pharaoh, but he was found out on a mountain with a burning bush in a position that God wanted to put him in. So he forgot the place and took the position, and he walked on with God, even if it meant 40 years in the wilderness. Can I say, so many times we look at people, but I'm reminded by Abram. And when he was Abram in Genesis chapter number 12, Brother James loves this scripture, and he talked about it here recently. But in Genesis chapter number 12, Abram was told about his pilgrimage, that if he would take the pilgrimage, there would be a promise on that for his land, a promise on that for a blessing, and a promise on that for his seed. Oftentimes, we want to do this, and we already started putting, and I've asked people last week before I had the Christmas decorations up. I don't know about else, but it was a war throughout the month of November at the Faulkner House because Tammy wanted to put the Christmas tree up, and I'm known as the Scrooge in the Faulkner House. Brother Ronnie, I won't let her put it up, but she finally got the Christmas tree up, and she put some gifts underneath it, and there's all those kids staring at the bottom of that Christmas tree. But can I say it's like it is in the church house? We want the gift before we have to do it to get it. Right? We don't want to wait. We don't have to do the labor. We don't have to do the heavy lifting. We don't have to do the pulling. Them ones come to Jesus and, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you're at. Where are you living at, Jesus? I'm going to. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have the nest, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. That means it's a rough and tough journey. That means it's a journey where your flesh will not profit. He says, my words I speak, they are spirit and they are life, and the flesh profiteth nothing, but the spirit is what profiteth. The Lord was looking for somebody. Abraham was looking for somebody. The Lord is looking for somebody today. Will you go? Will you go? Preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. He's not asking for a Sunday school teacher. Preacher, I'm not a singer. He's not asking for a singer. Preacher, I'm not a prayer. He's not asking for the prayer. I mean, I remind everybody in the Bible, it says in the gospel that there was a Pharisee and there was a publican that went to the temple to pray. And the Bible says the Pharisee's there. And he said, he goes, Lord, I thank God I'm not like this publican over here. He says, I paid my tithes. I do what I'm supposed to do. I dress right. My wife's got her skirt on down to her feet. Was it from the skirt to the dirt? She's got that put on. My kids are all walking in line. I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there who's nasty, rotten, filthy. I'm glad I'm not like him. I do everything that's supposed to be done. I'm glad I'm not like him, Lord. And that publican over in the corner, and he's just beating himself on the chest. He's saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. It wasn't his great prayer and his great words. It was him being willing and truthful with the Lord and with himself. Will you go? Will you go? I'm reminded, and I'm not saying this, and don't know one thing that I'm pounding. I'm just giving you the message that God says to give. I'm so thankful. Christian was telling me that Mount Zion was being bragged upon by some people who's not even a part of this church to another church. And it's not me, it's not you, it's the Lord, what he does. It's us following him. But can I say, I'm so proud when I heard when we took our little vacation that the tree got put up back here, the gift tree got put up. I'm glad we got a gift tree, not a Christmas tree. And it's my personal preference. Y'all can say, preach, y'all not to say that. When God calls you to preach, you can say what you want. I'm so glad we ain't got a Christmas tree, we got a gift tree. And the gifts flew off the tree. I'm glad that we can help. I'm glad we can do. But friend, there's a little bit something. It's called doing as God had me to do. Going. I'm reminded that there's some that will go and there's some that won't go. I'm reminded there's some that says, Lord, I'll go, but they never wind up going. And I know there's some who says, I ain't going to do it. I can't do it. I ain't got the ability to do it. But they repent. They find out it's not in them. It's in the Lord. Reminder that the servant didn't say that it was his good clue skills. It wasn't his CSI. It was his investigating work that he could do. But it was his prayer that he sought the Lord on, and the Lord heard his prayer. He said, Lord, I can't fulfill this duty. I can't do these things. And Jeff, when the Lord called me to preach, I said, God, A, I'm making a mistake. Lord, I'm ignorant. Lord, I'm dumb. I'm just a loud, bellowing type of guy. I don't know Bible like I should. I don't know nothing. And if anything, it's me and Brother Eddie's preaching. But hey, I've only been saved for a very short while. Why are you calling somebody who's been saved only a short while? There's no way this is. I think I've got it all mixed up. I'm apologizing to God. In the driver's seat of a 1982 Ford F-150 step side, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry. I tried tried to preach when I was praying. I just had a case of couldn't help it. It wasn't that I was something special. It was that I surrendered and said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I was willing to go. But can I say I have to have that question proposed to me and be willing to go every day, not just yesterday. Too many times people say, well, I went yesterday. I don't have to go today because I went yesterday. No, you have to go today. Paul forgot what's behind and he went on today. Some people say, I'll go tomorrow. But you know what? Tomorrow never does come. Tomorrow never does come. I've often found people, and they'll come to you and they'll say, preacher, things is just not adding up. Things is just not going good. Things just not doing as we have. But you have to choose this way. You have to make up your mind. You have to choose this way. You have to follow the Lord. Make up your mind to go. And oftentimes people say, preacher, it can't be that simple. I got to be led of the Lord. Can I say this? Lord don't have to lead you to be walking right with God. It's a given. Right? Telling somebody about Jesus, you don't have to be led about the Lord. That's a given. Given to somebody is not to be led of the Lord. That's a given. Were to be done. It's the choices that we have to make. Choices that we have to make and make up our mind. Bible says in Exodus 32:26, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. He come down, found them playing in the camp. The Lord was wrathful. The Lord was upset. And so was Moses, the man of God. He said, who's on the Lord's side? The Levites had to choose. And so did the rest of Israel. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30:19, Moses also said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You have to choose it. You have to choose it. In Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I say this? You have to make up your mind. You have to choose to go. Preacher, that doesn't make much sense. Well, here's what we have when people want to wait. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I believe there is some things that we're allotted in this country that's good. But the Lord's not a welfare God. He's not going to keep feeding you and pouring everything on you, because the Bible says if you won't provide for your family. Now, we talk about that being a physical thing, but can I say it's also a spiritual thing? And you say, well, preacher, I ain't got no family, so I'm exempt. No, you got to provide for your own house. For your own house. You've got to choose, didn't you? I mean, some people don't realize this, but there's times I don't feel like it. My body don't feel like it. My mind don't feel like it. The flesh wars against me, Melissa, and I don't feel like doing as the God wants me to do. You know what I got to do? I got to choose. Elijah, after he just got done coming from the brook where he was fed by the ravens, he went to the widow of Zarephath and got fed from the bucket and the barrel of meal, and then he goes to Mount Carmel and he catches up with a whole nation of people who won't choose. What he asked him? Why you halt between two opinions? If God be God, choose God. If Baal be God, choose him. They wouldn't make a decision. They wouldn't go. Did I hear the preacher?
Yep.
You ever met them people? I ain't going to do nothing. Well, doing nothing means you chose. And the Bible says that when Elijah had went, the Bible says there was a famine, there was no rain, he began to pray. The Bible says he forced himself. He cast himself down and prayed. That means he probably wasn't feeling much like praying. I don't know about you, if you had to do the things that Elijah did, I'd say you probably wore out. In today's day and age, hey, I'm tired. I don't feel much like doing much after Sunday morning service. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm wore out. This ain't the day of rest for the preacher. Somebody say amen for the preacher. Because when I rest, it ain't about sweating and hollering and hacking and spitting. And your resting ain't me spitting on you, is it? Everybody still with the preacher? Say amen. Everybody raise up a hand if you're still with me. Raise up a hand. Amen. Huh? I know we ain't got turkey coma still, right? But can I say this? So many times, if you'll listen, so many times we make the excuse, I'm not going to choose. I'm not going to choose. But the question is, will you go? It's not when you go. It's not how you go. is, will you go? Will you go? We find in these scriptures, we find in this story, one more example, and we'll get back to Rebecca. We find in Ruth chapter number 1, we find two daughter-in-laws who have a choice to make. Either they can go with their mother-in-law or go back home. The daughters are from Moab. The mom's from Israel. She's from Jerusalem. She left because there was a famine. Times got tough. Packed up her Bible, her and her husband, and went home. Went somewhere else. Said they're going to go somewhere else. Didn't prove up very good. Didn't prove up very profitable. They went to Moab. What one preacher preached, he said, there's no bread in Moab. There's not. There's no bread in Moab. But they made the conscious choice to leave the house of bread, even though it got kind of scarce. But they find two brides for their sons. You don't go finding brides for your sons out in Moab. You don't find husbands for your daughters out in Moab. Moab was the washpot. The Bible says they made a conscious choice to leave the house of bread and go someplace where there is no God. There's no bread and there's nothing to hook up with. But the Bible says the Lord still blessed them. Thank God the Lord still. You said, preacher, how could they bless them? Because even Ruth or Naomi became a widow. And even though Ruth and Orpah became widows, they lost the men. But Bible says that Naomi realized she could go back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says she told both of her daughter-in-law, she says, there's nothing left for you with me. Go back to Moab. I can't give you another son. And even if I could give you another son, are you going to wait till he gets old enough for you to marry him? She said, I can't give you nothing. She told Orpah and Ruth, go back to Moab. And Tommy Orpah went up, and Naomi kissed her on the cheek, and they cried, and Orpah went back to Moab. Never heard no more about Orpah. They said the definition of her name is the back of the neck, like she turned her back and walked back to Moab. But like what Ruth did, Naomi come up to kiss her and tell her bye. She said, I'm going. She said, you don't understand, Ruth. I've got nothing. What does she call herself later on in that chapter? She says, call me Mara. Is that what she called herself? She says, because I went out full and what? Come back empty. She's having nothing else to give. But Ruth knew, Lisa, there was something better over in Jerusalem. She knew there had to be something better at the house of bread than there was in Moab. I've heard people at times say, preacher, how do you get to that part? How do you get to that place where you just feel the Spirit and things is just so good? Friend, you got to make up a conscious decision. You got to make a choose the Lord and say, I'm going with God. I'm not going back to what it once was. And what Ruth tell Naomi? She says, your people is going to be my people. Where you sleep is where I'm going to sleep. And she says, your God's going to be my God. She sold the farm, put the hens and the eggs in one basket and said, I'm going with God. Now, Ruth didn't get the mighty big blessing, but Ruth got to play a part in the mighty big blessing. Since she followed God, Brother James, I was only going to preach 30 minutes. I'm already 10 minutes over. She was supposed to go, and by the law, I'm going to hurry up. I've preached all I can preach. God's telling me I'm about done. I thought I was going to focus on Rebecca. I'm stuck in Ruth. By the law, the people who owned the farmland, they were supposed to leave the corners and the edges of the field. And you're supposed to leave them for the poor folk. Okay? Has anybody ever passed by a soybean field and a corn field? Ever noticed that on the corners and on the edges, the corn and beans don't grow as good? Has anybody ever noticed that? But that's where the poor folk are supposed to glean from. But Ruth showed up in Boaz's field. And Boaz looked at her and said, man, who's that? They said, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. He said, where's her husband? She ain't got no husband. He said, hey, I tell you what, let her glean amongst the sheaves. Ruth had no idea. But since she said she was willing to go, she said, I'm going because I know if I get in Boaz's field, I'm going to get some good stuff. No, she just said, I'm going. I don't care what befalls me. I don't know what's going to happen to me. If you'll have it, she was like the Apostle Paul. I do not what befall, what's going to happen to me, what's going to befall me, but it's not going to move me from going with God. You know what most of us do? We put up our, we hang up, man, y'all help us preach. I feel like preaching about 5 hours. We hang our harps up here in the willow trees. And we say, we ain't going to sing no more, ain't going to pray no more, ain't going to go with God no more because things just got too tough. Friend, we ain't living like Ruth did. We ain't getting in somebody's cornfield, no bean field having to eat, Brother Eddie. We're looking good and looking healthy. But bless God, Ruth said, I don't care what had happened. I'm still going with God. And as that wagon would go by, Bible says that Boaz told him, take that handfuls of purpose and throw it out there too. I've had me some handfuls from time to time. God, I didn't deserve them, didn't deserve them, didn't deserve no handfuls of purpose. But still yet, he saw fit, even though I was not consistent, even though I didn't think I was too committed, even though I had failed to mess things up. He said, Jason, you're struggling along. Here's a couple handfuls of purpose just to give you the strength to keep on going. Will you go with me? I said, God, I'm still going to go with you. And I'm not saying it's saying I've got hard times, nobody's treating me bad. But there's been many a times I felt like such a failure, Brother Ronnie. I said, this Sunday might be my last Sunday, Lord. I think I'm not no good for this church anymore. And God said, Jason, I'm not asking you how good you are. I'm asking if you're willing to go. And I said, God, I'm willing to go anywhere. He said, shut your mouth and just take another handful of purpose. Can I say this morning? What you need to do is make up your mind and choose that you're going to follow God no matter sink or swim, live or die. I don't care what happens. Choose to follow God. Choose to go with God. And don't let nobody else to tell you to wait around to do it. I'm going to say this in close. Paul, where you at? Paul? Caleb? Come get us a song. Rebecca was asked, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, there's one thing to answer the question. Y'all listen to the preacher? Y'all look up at me. It's one thing to say, yes, I will go. And it's something else to go. Guess what her uncles and moms and dads almost going to do? Now you can go, but wait a couple days. Just wait. Just hang out with us for a little while. Ain't got time to wait. I got to go with him. You told him to ask me if I'll go, and I answered, yes, I'll go. We want you to go. We've talked about this. Tammy's family wanted me to get saved. They prayed for me to get saved. And Michelle, when I got saved, I got two saved for them. My mom and dad wanted me to straighten up and fly right. Problem is I got too straight and I flowed in the Lord's plane and Jesus is my pilot. They said, Jason, you got too religious for us. We know how you live. But can I say this? I had nowhere else to go. I was like, Pat, that was the end of my despair. And the Lord said, will you go with me? I said, I ain't got nowhere else to go, Lord. No one else will take me up. And he said, I'm taking you up right now. Shut your mouth and come on. But my friends would say, you don't need to go right now. Don't go right now. You got plenty of time. You know what? You're smart. You read your Bible. I mean, why is he? I mean, don't you do enough already? Don't we do enough already? Somebody listen to this preacher? Six people in the choir loft. We should have had 60 in the choir loft. Why? Because God's willing to stick out his hand and say, I'm going to walk with you. Will you go with me? I said this last week. I love it when Rebecca sticks out her hand and she grabs my hand and wants to walk with me. We was walking through the parking garage and I'm looking on every hand. I'm looking between every car. I'm looking to, somebody's going to come out from there. I'm going to have to whoop somebody. I'm going to take my wife or my kids. And mommy says, Daddy, Daddy, Rebecca's got her hand looking for yours. And the whole time we want God to take our hand. Maybe he's looking for us to reach up to take his. I don't know what's in your life. Some of you is lost as a ball in high weeds and you have no concern. That scares me. Some of you so religious, salvation could never chink the wall that you've got built. You need to quit and go with God. You need to make up your mind and choose today. You can talk about your own house. Well, what about your heart? Will you go with God? The Lord told me to bear his heart. I'll be honest with you, this is not my heart. This is God's heart. I would love for it to be my heart, but Brother James, this has got to be in my heart just as much as it is yours. Wade, yours. Noah, yours. Corey, yours. Samantha, yours. It's got to be in all of our heart. Will you go?